Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Nate Fluharty, and this is a new edition of Healthline 3, where we always love to focus on ways to live a healthier and longer life. Over the next 30 minutes, we're going to be taking your calls and answering your questions about all things involving your ticker, especially if you right now or someone you know is dealing with high blood pressure. So if you have a question, really simple. Just pick up the phone, give us a call at 318-219-4569. Really excited to have today's featured guest, Dr. John Winterton, a cardiologist at W.K. Pyrmont Cardiology, with us today. Dr. Winterton, great to see you, sir.
It's great to be here and have an opportunity to help people understand the significance of high blood pressure, how common it is, and how devastating it can be, but also how easy to treat and how easy to stay out of trouble it can be as well.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the big reasons why we really appreciate being here is because I am sure that a lot of our viewers right now sitting at home either know they have high blood pressure, maybe they don't know they have high blood pressure. And we're going to be breaking down some of the things to keep an eye out for and ways that you can possibly treat it and so much more. So, Dr. Winterton, let's just jump right into it. What is high blood pressure? We hear it a lot in the world of health, but what is high blood pressure?
Well, blood pressure itself is a measure of the heart's pumping capacity in terms of how it gets blood to the organs, the brain, the arms and legs, your kidneys and internal organs. It takes pressure to get the blood carrying oxygen to those organs. The heart generates those pressures. It's a pump. Mm-hmm. It passes the blood through the arteries, which are dynamic themselves. They're elastic. They expand and contract. Based on necessity being the amount of oxygen that particular circumstances mitigate. You get up to try to walk, exert yourself, do sports, do housework, do whatever it is that you need. So it's a dynamic process that involves both the heart and the arteries that are together the blood pressure, what creates blood pressure. High blood pressure then is what we consider to be excess of what's necessary to get the blood to those organs. Mm-hmm. It's a very common problem, and it can be related to lots of different physiologic issues, both dealing with the heart itself, but also the arteries, and to some extent, and actually in the case of the kidneys, a significant extent, related to the input from other organs. All of this is monitored within the body. Your brain and the just to some extent the heart and kidneys are all interacting to manage the blood pressure. It's when that management system goes awry that we get high blood pressure, and it's very common. As mentioned earlier, it's very pervasive. The prevalence is somewhere around 47 million people in this country. At least that's the measurable number.
Yeah.
There are a whole bunch of people, maybe as much as double that, if you take into account the folks who don't know that they have high blood pressure.
I was just going to ask you about that, is the fact that, you know, those are people that that they know about, that they have high blood pressure. So who typically gets high blood pressure, and why would someone be living with it and not even know that they have it?
The who gets high blood pressure is, or can be, anybody. And that's wow. An important fact to understand. It's not something that you did or that you didn't do or that makes you good or bad. It's an intrinsic problem. We see high blood pressure even in children. Hmm. Less commonly. It's more commonly seen in young adults and up. But it can be anybody and not necessarily related to anything. Now, there are factors that influence high blood pressure. For example, salt intake and such. And there are genetic factors, so it's as common to see people who have high blood pressure who have that within their family history.
Mm-hmm. I know, I certainly do. That's, you know, as you and I were talking before the show started, you know, friends and family members that have been dealt with high blood pressure in the past, so no pun intended, but this is close to my heart. So what, you know, for someone like me that may know about the fact that they have had family members dealing with high blood pressure, what should I do now, or to prevent it or to get tested? What are the steps in which people should go right now to find out if they have it?
Well, that's the important thing, is to recognize that it can be you. Mm-hmm. And in as much, then you get regular checkups with your physician. Today, it's very easy to check your blood pressure at home. And so just at the outset, it's important to understand what we consider to be normal. If you're going to check your blood pressure at home, normal we consider to be 130 over 80, the top number being what we call the systolic. We want that to be 130 or less, and the bottom number, the diastolic number, to be 80 or less. And so you can check it at home. It's a good idea to have routine checkups with your family physician. Between those two or three elements, it's very easy to know that you have high blood pressure or not.
So when you find out you have it, I'm sure it's not a death sentence. I mean, it's never good when you hear you have high blood pressure. But, you know, obviously, what are some things that we can do to, are there ways that we can cut that down, cut that number, get it back on track?
Absolutely. It's not a death sentence. And that's very important to understand, that it's very treatable condition. Mm-hmm. So you get diagnosed with high blood pressure. 95% of folks who have high blood pressure, it's an intrinsic issue. In other words, it's just part of their physiologic makeup. That interaction between the heart, the arteries, and the kidneys, and the brain, that is mitigating the blood pressure to be elevated. Hmm. There are a few people, about 5% of folks, who have some cause that is treatable, like blocked arteries to the kidneys, mm-hmm. Or tumors that secrete very, very aggressive hormones. That's rare. Mm-hmm. Most people have what we call essential hypertension, which is just to say that it's there. We don't know precisely what the cause is, but it is what it is. And so you treat it, and that's very easy usually.
That's great to hear. Well, as I mentioned off the top of the show, this is a show dedicated to you, our viewers. So we want to answer any questions that you have about high blood pressure, if you or someone you know is dealing with that. So let's go to the phone lines right now. I believe we have Bobby. Bobby, what's your question for Dr. Winterton?
My question is, what is a normal heart rate for a 74-year-old woman? And
so normal heart rate we consider to be somewhere between 60 and 100 beats per minute. That's a pretty big range, and actually slightly more or slightly less on either end is also acceptable. It's very individual.
Okay, do you have any more questions, Bobby, or did that answer that for you?
Heart rate of 65 to 69 is within the range of normal.
All righty. There you go, Bobby. Thank you so much for your questions. And if we have, I'm sure we got some other folks out there. Let me give you that phone number one more time. If you've got a question for Dr. Winterton dealing with high blood pressure, 318-219-4569. In our first one-third of the health line right now. And Dr. Winterton, before we get to back to the phone lines, and I'm sure we're going to get some more folks calling, let's talk about what, you know, Bobby just brought up her number. She obviously knows that, which is good. But, you know, what about for the folks that get tested, start going down that line, what are the impacts that living with high blood pressure and not getting it treated? Let's talk about maybe some of the worst-case scenarios.
High blood pressure, or blood pressure itself, is the work that the heart and the arteries have to do to maintain your bodily function. And the higher the blood pressure, the more the work that's involved for your heart. Heart has to push the blood out against that blood pressure to get blood to move forward. It's also more pressure on the arteries themselves. Now, all of the internal organs have arteries that supply them with blood carrying oxygen. Mm-hmm. And so the higher the blood pressure, the more work that those arteries have to contend with. They have to relax and contract based on the particular organ's needs. Over time, that then means that the dynamic process can be altered, and over time that can damage those arteries. It can also damage the heart. The excess workload on those structures, on those organs, is what causes the damage. Hmm. causes damage to the arteries supplying the heart. It can cause enlargement of the heart. The heart gets thick, just like as if you went to the gym and worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Heart's a muscle, and you your heart gets thick and does more, as the heart has to do more work. So who cares? Well, that excess work and then the enlargement of the heart are things that your body has to compensate for. It can compensate over a period of time up to a point. And up after you reach a certain point, that's when we start to see trouble. The heart has to enlarge. We see heart failure. The arteries get affected that supply the heart. That's when we see heart attacks. The arteries get thick in the other organs. It can cause kidney damage as a result of reduced blood flow to the kidneys. It can cause strokes because of the excess pressure on arteries, particularly in the brain, because those little arteries are much thinner. They don't have the ability to contend with high pressure as well.
Interesting. Now, I'd like to ask you this, too. I've always heard the term heart disease. What is the difference with heart disease, a heart attack, and how high blood pressure plays into this?
Well, high blood pressure plays a role in the development of heart artery disease. And so most often people, when they refer to heart disease, they're referring to blocked arteries supplying the heart that can then cause heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
The arteries, the heart itself has little arteries that run on the surface of the heart. They're about 3 to 4 millimeters in diameter, so very small.
Mm-hmm.
The lining of those arteries, the interior lining of those arteries, is somewhere between 6 and 13 microns thick. Tiny, tiny.
Wow, yeah,
not visible to the eye.
Yeah.
And so under high pressure, you can imagine that particles that don't belong in the artery can get forced under the lining of those arteries, such as cholesterol, fat. That then gets deposited in the artery. It sets off an inflammatory process, which then can lead to calcification, can also lead to the artery breaking open and clot forming, which is what heart attacks are all about. A clot forms and then blocks the artery off. That same process affects the arteries to the brain and to the kidneys, and can cause damage in those organs as well.
Hmm.
So it's, and this is not something that occurs just out of the blue and without time involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the fortunate side of this, is that if you detect high blood pressure and treat it aggressively, we can interrupt this process that leads to potential damage to the heart, the brain, the kidneys, et cetera.
One of the things that I find fascinating, I mean, everything's fascinating. You mentioned so far, I've already learned so much here in the last 12 minutes. But I was always led to believe that, you know, it was older people, it was senior citizens that would typically get it. But this is something that can range in ages. I mean, is it age? Is it, I mean, you mentioned diet too. I mean, these are all things. High blood pressure just sounds like something that literally could happen to anybody.
That's exactly right, and that's why that large number of people that we believe have high blood pressure exists, is that there's so many factors that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
Younger people with high blood pressure probably infers the cause being some genetic process. I can vividly remember a classmate in medical school telling me that his blood pressure was off the charts, and we were 22 years old. Seemed hard to believe, but it's true.
Right.
And you know, the more people you see, the more you hear that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is people tend to ignore it, and that's where the beginning of the damage starts.
Is it a way to get back on track without taking the medicine? Or, you know, can you essentially, I mean, if you have high blood pressure, I don't know if going out there and marathon running, get back in shape or something like that, is that going to help? Because your heart's going to be beating faster. It seems like that might actually be against you a little bit.
Well, in patients who have high blood pressure, we certainly wouldn't recommend that they immediately run out to run a marathon.
Sure.
To do that. But if you look at younger people who have high blood pressure, particularly that are overweight and sedentary, not as active, certainly weight loss and activity can lower blood pressure, and you can then carry on that benefit to the prevention of heart disease and such. There are other factors that can influence it, and the obstructive sleep apnea patients, again, people who usually are overweight, but not always,
mm-hmm.
And a handful of other circumstances that are things that you can modify in lifestyle that would alter your blood pressure. Generally, though, you know, if you have high blood pressure that is not responsive to simple measures such as diet and exercise, medications are then the mainstay.
Do you always stay on the medicines? Is that something that you would take for the rest of your life to keep you on track, or is there a way to get off of that?
Well, some people with treatment of their obesity or being overweight and inactivity, in other words, diet and exercise, mm-hmm. can modify their blood pressure to the extent that they get off of medication. So that's possible.
Yeah.
That's not the majority, I would say.
Okay.
The same would apply to treating obstructive sleep apnea, modifying sodium intake.
Hmm.
All of those can be beneficial, but often taking blood pressure medications is a more of a long-term thing.
Okay, very interesting. All right, we already have our next caller on the line, Lynn. Lynn, thanks a lot for calling in. What's your question for Dr. Winterton?
My question is, what would be the signs, the symptoms, if you have high blood pressure? Do you get headaches? Do you get pain? I mean, you know, how does a person find out that they surely have high blood pressure? What would cause them to go to the doctor and say, I think I have high blood pressure?
I think it's important to answer that question in two facets. One, most people don't have any symptoms that are associated with their high blood pressure, so it's unrecognized.
Wow.
But if you're looking at what symptoms could be related to high blood pressure, some folks will tell you that they feel flushed, some with headaches. Some people get chest discomfort and shorter breath. They can't tolerate their activities as well. There's a full range of symptoms that are associated with high blood pressure that merit attention, so you don't ignore those symptoms. But again, to highlight what's really important is that you have your blood pressure checked or monitor it yourself carefully, because most people don't have any symptoms.
Lynn, that was a great question.
Okay. I do have one more question, if it's okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. Suppose you're normally healthy, okay, and then you get sick and you go to the doctor and they say, they take your blood pressure, which they normally do, then they say, oh, you have high blood pressure. Does a person's blood pressure get worse when they become sick? With, say, the flu or, like the flu or the virus or something?
So that's an interesting point, and that's an important aspect of blood pressure that needs to be understood, and that is that your body responds to circumstance. Just like if you're sitting down, you check your blood pressure, it will be normal, say 130 over 80. And then you get up to go run errands or go exercise, it's expected that your blood pressure would go up to a point that is relative to the activity. When you get sick, such as the flu or virus or whatever, most often the blood pressure will elevate some in response to the body's activity to fight off infection, etc. Now, that typically is not dramatic, but it can be elevated in those circumstances. So there's a range of what we expect to be normal response or normal increase in blood pressure relative to activity, but and also to being sick. But there's a limit to that, and so that's sometimes a difficult assessment to make in terms of, do you react to high blood pressure when someone's ill or not?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Hey, Lynn, great questions. Tell you what, I'm gonna have to start asking you, Lynn, for some things to ask the doctor. Now, great job. Thank you so much for calling in, Lynn. Hopefully, Dr. Winterton got you some answers there.
All right,
well,
thank you.
No problem. Have a great day. And we're over halfway as we begin to wrap things up here. We've still got some time here. So 318-219-4569. If you get a question for Dr. Winterton, now is the time to pick up the phone and give us a call completely toll-free. And no charge for Dr. Winterton. He is here today to answer your questions about all things blood pressure. So next caller on the line already. I knew we were going to get some folks giving us a buzz. Gloria, good morning. Good afternoon, I should say. What's your question for Dr. Winterton? Do we have Gloria?
I have a question. If you already have heart problems, such as a stent or would your pancreas, if you have pancreas enzymes, would that affect your heart in any way?
Pancreatic problems are potentially serious issues and can make a person extremely ill. And so could they affect your heart? Well, it could affect your blood pressure, certainly, that being ill to the extent that one has what we call pancreatitis, make you very sick and make your blood pressure go up. And so in an indirect way could affect the heart, not in a direct sense. It can aggravate, if you have underlying heart problems, that's probably the more common circumstance that pancreas problems would interact with the heart, is if you have underlying heart disease, it can activate or worsen a heart condition.
All right, Gloria, thank you so much for your call. We do appreciate that. Hopefully, yeah. Thanks a lot, Gloria. We appreciate it. Hopefully we got all your questions there.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. You have a great day. So again, 219-4569, and give us a buzz right now if you got any questions about blood pressure. Dr. Winston, I want to bring it back to the diet. You mentioned a key thing there a couple minutes ago, sodium, basically salt intake. How does that, why does that seem to be when it comes to all the foods that we eat? I'm sure fats, grease, those aren't good, but why sodium? Why is that so important?
It has some interesting interaction with the, or involvement with the way that blood pressure is generated. Mm-hmm. Blood pressure is generated on the basis of the vigorous or the voracity with which the heart pumps. It has some to do with the volume of blood that the heart has to pump. It also has to do with the tone of arteries. Sodium exerts a concentration effect, so that when the sodium is elevated in the bloodstream, it then attracts water to balance the concentration. Your body's constantly adjusting all sorts of phenomena, but one of them, and most important, is concentration levels. So when sodium is elevated, or you, for instance, you take in a lot of sodium, there has to be a balance for that, and the balance is the attraction of more volume, water, mm-hmm. into the circulation. That excess or increase in volume then has to be managed by your heart. Your heart has to do the work to move that fluid around. Sodium also affects the behavior of the kidney. And so the kidney itself has lots to do with the measurement of blood pressure and the messages that the heart gets and the circulation the arteries get in terms of the regulation of blood pressure. So it's sort of a dual process involving the kidney, but also the amount of volume that, of blood that the heart has to deal with. So the more volume, the higher the blood pressure.
Right.
And therefore, sodium affects that directly.
Very interesting. So watch that salt intake. All right, thank you, doctor. All right, we already have our next caller on the line. Miriam?
Yes.
Hello? Good afternoon. Yeah, what's your question for Dr. Winterton? Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. Good evening to y'all. I'd like to know, when you're drinking coffee, does it run your blood pressure, elevate your blood pressure to go up, or tea, or kind of put like kind of fluid on your ankles? And stuff, because everybody keeps saying like coffee run your blood pressure up, so that was one of my concerns, along with, you know, caffeine.
So coffee and tea contain caffeine. Caffeine is a stimulant, and therefore does elevate your heart rate, and therefore could, to some extent, elevate blood pressure. Usually not very much. The bigger effect would be heart rate elevation, but yes, it can elevate your blood pressure probably a little bit. It's like everything else in terms of diet, though. Moderation is what is wise in terms of how you let caffeine influence your blood pressure.
Thinking about the seven
okay,
cups of coffee.
I've
ouch.
Yeah, seven cups every day for myself, but That's not about me. Hey, Gloria, thank you, Marion. Thank you so much for that call. That was a great one.
Okay.
I'm learning
okay.
so much from our viewers. We got some great questions. All right, we got about 5 minutes left. We're going to leave these phone lines open for just about 2 more minutes. And all right, let's waste no time. Let's get right to Wayne. Wayne, what is your question for Dr. Winterton?
Yeah, I was wondering what causes heart wall thickening, and is that over a long time high blood pressure, or what causes that?
Most often, increased thickness of the heart muscle, the wall, as you alluded to, is related to high blood pressure. There are other conditions that are genetic that can cause the heart wall to heart muscle to get thick, but you can envision the heart getting thick, kind of like going to the gym. If you go to the gym and you lift weights, the muscles are going to get bigger, which is what you want. In the case of the heart, though, your heart has to work against the blood pressure. As your blood pressure elevates, your heart does more work. It gets thicker.
Right.
It's a muscle. The problem with that is that alters the way the heart can perform. Specifically, it alters the way the heart relaxes. Which then elevates the pressure going, in, which is reflected back in the system, backwards toward the lungs.
Would that make it hard for a person to lay down flat and catch their breath when they're laying flat?
In an indirect fashion, thickening of the heart muscle implies that the blood pressure is high and is causing the heart to not perform like it's supposed to.
I've been on blood pressure medicine since 2012. After I had I had a heart attack in 2012, and I've been on blood pressure medicine and a few other medicines since then. But the last time I had I always do good on my stress tests, but they said that, what about regurgitating from the aorta valve?
So high blood pressure puts direct pressure on the aortic valve. And if that valve leaks, it's going to make that valve leak more so. And so aggressive blood pressure control is part of the management of a leaking aortic valve, although that may not be the only thing that we would need to do. So that merits or needs to be assessed by a cardiologist.
Right. Well, I see a cardiologist yearly, sometimes twice a year, every 6 months. And in fact, I got an appointment coming up next Friday with my cardiologist. But I seen you on here. I thought I'd ask you a few questions about it. And what about as far as your ankle and feet swelling? Is there any kind of natural diuretics you can take where you don't have to go get LASIK?
Well, that very much depends upon what the cause of the swelling in the ankles and legs is. And again, that requires the attention of a physician to try to sort that out, because that can be related to a lot of different problems. That needs
right.
somebody
that, makes sense.
That needs to be discussed with your doctor.
Okay.
Well,
now I appreciate your information.
Yeah.
You have a good day.
Yeah, you too. It's great that he's going to be following up too with his cardiologist too. But you know, it's really important. That's why we love having you, Dr. Winston. You answered a lot of questions with a lot of great questions out there. Big shout out to our viewers this morning. You guys have been great. But for the folks watching right now, Dr. Winterton, for, you know, if they have questions in the future, do you take patients right now? You know, for folks that have those questions, can they reach out to you at WK Piermont Cardiology? And, you know, what's the next step?
Absolutely. That's high blood pressure management is one of the mainstays of what we do. It's incredibly important. Certainly, a lot of what we do is seems more glamorous. We do procedures that open up arteries, mm-hmm. send folks to bypass surgery, and so forth. But the real meat and potatoes of what we do is simple prevention of bigger problems, which maintenance of blood pressure control is at the heart of that. And so absolutely, we see patients on a routine basis. We're absolutely available any time of the day.
Where can they find you?
We're at Wills Langton Piermont. The office number is 318-212-3858, and we certainly are happy to help anybody with those kind of problems, or direct them in the proper fashion to get that taken care of.
Well, fantastic. Well, sir, we can definitely tell that you're behind your work with all your heart, and I'm sure you guys are going to continue to do great things to help others on their hearts as well. So, Dr. Winterton, thank you so much for being our guest today. We really do appreciate it. Great advice. Can help out a lot of people. And you can find out much more on the Healthline on KTBS.com, but that was another great edition of today's Healthline 3.